Please hold this verse from the epistle that you heard this morning in your heart, if you will. A little bit of instruction about either the theme of the day or maybe just possibly the sermon you are about to hear. These words from Paul, Peter: "You will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place." You may remember that the last time I was here, the theme was mountains. It was the first day of December, the first Sunday in Advent, and therefore the first day of our new church year. And Isaiah was calling on us to get up, leave our comforts and our routines, and climb the holy mountain of the Lord. Wouldn't you just know that on the day I have the joy of returning to St. James, we have arrived at the mountain. Not just once, but twice. Moses has been summoned up the mountain to receive the covenant, the commandments. And Peter and James and John have been summoned up the mountain by Jesus, not knowing why. We have made it to our destination. We are about to have our mountaintop experience. All of this comes just as the calendar is turning the corner away from the growing light of Epiphany and toward the disciplines of Lent. The mountaintop is not going to be easy. There will be no phone reception on the mountaintop. It is going to demand something of us. In the course of every church year, there is only one story in the life of Jesus that gets told twice to us. Jesus gets born, the kings come, Jesus stays behind at the temple and worries his parents. As a young man, he stands up to preach in the synagogue and gets almost thrown out of town. He gets baptized, he heals and preaches, he goes to Jerusalem, he's received with honor, and in the course of a short week, he is scourged, executed, and resurrected. All of that happens just once every year in the story we tell. But the story of Jesus leading Peter and James and John up the mountain, that story we get twice every year. We get it on August 6th, the date of the Feast of the Transfiguration, and we always get it here, this last Sunday before our little train heads toward Lent. It's one of those questions you get on the last section of the ordination exam. Why do we hear Transfiguration twice every year and we only hear everything else once? And there is an answer to that question. And I will award extra bonus points to anyone who can tell me the answer after the service without looking at their phone. But the more important point is just this: there must be something important about this story if we are meant to hear it twice every year. August 6th can come on any day of the week. You might not be in church that day. You might miss it. So we make sure you will hear it on this Sunday. Why this Sunday? Why right here at the threshold of Lent? I'm not sure how you were raised, but where I grew up, Lent was not a season that you looked forward to with great joy. There was always the thing you had to give up. And then in my house, there was the extra chore that you had to take on to help Mom and Dad. And there was the little cardboard folder that I kept on my dresser where I was supposed to put a coin in the slot every day. That was my Lenten offering. It was a time of giving up things, of setting aside things, of choosing discomfort in order to gain the gift of perspective. But if you think about it, leading into Lent with this story of the Transfiguration doesn't really propose to you that kind of Lent. Maybe there's something else we're supposed to consider. Maybe the season behind us is supposed to shape our journey into the season before us. James and John and Peter are close to Jesus. They're among the very first of the apostles who decided to follow. They have not played it careful in deciding to become apostles. They have left everything behind, jobs and families and good reputations too. By this time in the story, they think they know what they are doing and why they are doing it. When Jesus asks them to join him on a mountain hike, they are not surprised. They've seen Jesus heal people, yes, but they have also seen him pray. They've heard the rumors about him. They know that people think he is dangerous or maybe even unbalanced. But they have also seen him feed enormous crowds and take pity on the least and the weakest. They have watched as he balances the impact he's having on ever-growing crowds when he preaches with the time he spends alone in quiet and in prayer. They trust this man. Peter, brave, bold, courageous Peter, has already blurted out that he thinks Jesus is the Messiah of God. They know something is going on with this man. They think they have a pretty good idea of what is going to happen. And then they take that walk up the mountain. We are a convocation of churches that worship in many languages, and we delight in the beauty and the variety of the languages and cultures that make us the churches we are. But no matter what language you read the Bible in, when you read this story, it is hard to avoid the sense that the author of the gospel is struggling to find words. Think about how different that is from the experience of Moses. Moses goes up the mountain exactly for the purpose of getting words. He comes back down the mountain with the gift of words, the words of the covenant that binds us to God. But here, on this mountain, words fail. James and John and Peter walk up the mountain, and no words can adequately describe their experience. And so, like most men, they try to offer a solution to what they think is a problem. They offer to build booths. But what they can't grasp in their bewildered state is that there is no problem. Jesus has simply been revealed for who he truly is in a way totally unlike whatever it was they were expecting. If you look again at the collect of the day that began our service, you can find a little bit of a clue to tell us why this story comes to meet us just now, just as we head into Ash Wednesday this week. It's a clue that links the story of the Transfiguration to the theme of the season that is now drawing to an end, the season of Epiphany, the season of light. Here's what that prayer said: "Grant that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his glory." The light of this past season, Epiphany, the light of Christ, that is the light that breaks forth on the mountaintop in the presence of those confused disciples. But there's more to it than that. That light is not just meant to dazzle us. It is not meant to enlighten us. It is not meant even to inspire us. It is meant to change us. Our sisters and brothers in the churches of the Orthodox tradition understand the Transfiguration in just this way. In this story of God's glory fully revealed in Jesus, the Orthodox have long taught that what we are meant to see is the full possibility of humanity, what human life would look like, what it would be like if we were completely open, completely accessible, totally given over to God. If we do that, then we wouldn't just be seeing this thing. We would be sharing in Christ's glory. Just as in carrying our cross, we share in Christ's sorrows. It would be others glimpsing God's glory in our lives, just as James and John and Peter glimpsed it there on the mountain in Jesus. God's power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. That's what it says in Ephesians, and we believe it because it says so in the prayer book as well. We know this to be true, but we are afraid of just what would happen if we allowed it to be as true as it could possibly be. We want to dictate the terms of just how much God's power gets to work in and through us. We are not that willing to have our minds changed, let alone open up ourselves to the possibility of being transfigured. We are quite sure what we think of things, what we think the Bible teaches, what place we think Jesus should have in our lives, and where we draw the line and permit no further access. Well, we are entering into Lent here at St. James's, at a turning point in our lives as a community of faith. We have a long and storied history here in this beautiful and ancient city, and we are about to begin writing a new chapter of that story. By God's grace, it will be a chapter that will not just transform us, not just bring us a new pastor, but a chapter that will transfigure us, that will be about how others in this city caught a glimpse of God through us, through the ways in which we are living out and working out God's call to love, to reconciliation, to the inclusion of all people in the embrace of God's love right here. But to do that will mean we must be open to be changed. And that means, to begin with, we must be open. Each one of us, all of us together, and me too, for all of us to be instruments of that grace, bearers of that light, means we must not just behold, but become that light. So, maybe this Lent should not be so much about giving up things or setting aside things. Maybe this Lent for us might instead be seeing our certainties, our presuppositions, our absolutes, our non-negotiables as the limitations they really are, as the evidence that there are still curtains that we draw that block God's light shining through us. Maybe this Lent should be less about sacrifice and more about shining through. Less about what we ask God to do for us and more about what we allow God to do with us. God, who revealed Christ's glory on the mountain, will bring others to see that light in this place, because this is the body of Christ, if we will but let it be. Amen.